be privileged to be here with you this morning. This morning we want to set our thoughts around the wisdom of the wise men. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. Well-known portion of Scripture. Probably will be preached on many times. Oh boy, I really need it because I need you to pray for me because my sinuses have been terrible the last 2 or 3 days. It rips in my cords, and as you know, I have weak cords, and then it caused me to strain my voice and then finally lose it. Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not at least among the princes of Judah? For of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people, Israel." Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men and inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I'm sure the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his precious word. This morning we'd like to break the message up into 6 simple sections. First, we want to look at the persevering seekers. Then we want to look at the perplexed inquirers. Then the prophesied place. And to find the P, I put the perfidious king or the wicked king. Then the person discovered. And the precious gifts. You'll get out in time, don't worry. First, the persevering seekers. Verse 1 says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, behold, there came wise men from the east, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" They were seeking for him. Persevering seekers. We want to look at the description of these men. It says they were wise men. Would to God, beloved saints here today, that we were all wise men and wise women in regards to seeking Christ, to finding him better. You would turn with me to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs 2 and verse 1 to 5 is going to tell us how we could really find the Christ, how we could really find God, and going to give us a description of a wise man. Verse 1 says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart unto understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hidden treasures." Listen what he says in verse 5. "Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Verse 1 says, my son, receive my words. Oh, beloved saints today, I trust that's our desire, to receive his word. And he says to hide it in our heart. Verse 2 says, incline thine ear. Listen, is what it's saying. Listen at what it says. It says, apply it to thine heart. Don't just be in here and just listen. What it's saying, do it. Obey it. And he says, if thou seekest her as silver, as a miner would go into the ground and dig for silver and gold, seek him like that, saints. That's how we want to seek him, like these wise men, to find him. Be a persevering seeker. Says, and searches for her as hidden treasure, as something that's lost and hidden from us. Search for it that way. Saints, I'll tell you, you'll find Christ that way. You'll find him today if we search for him in that way. The one who cries for understanding will find the knowledge of God. It is the highest of all gifts today is to know him, the giver of all things that are good. The Lord Jesus said in John 17 and 13, and this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. Oh, I wish today that we could search for him like those wise men, that we might know him. Jeremiah 29:13 says this, and ye shall seek me and find me. When ye shall search for me with all your heart. Oh, saints, could I impress it upon our hearts today that we will search for him and know him better today than ever before. Deuteronomy 32 says this, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. And I know we can apply that to the lost. And if you're here today without Christ, oh, that you would consider your ways and consider your latter end. But let me, saints, apply it to us today. Oh, that we would consider our latter end. And I believe if we would consider our latter end today, we would search for him better. And we would find him today the way he wants us to. Because if we would consider and we could see today, we're standing before the judgment seat of Christ. Not for judgment, but to receive a reward. And if we would consider our latter end, that we're there today, and he's sending out the rewards, that it might be possible that it wouldn't be a reward for me or you. If we would consider that, I think we would be wise and seek for him and find him and serve him and love him better. Oh, Moses in a song says that you would seek him. You would consider him as if it was your latter end. Let's look at that guy that they had the star. Numbers 24:17 says, there shall come a star out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel. You know, the one who created all things, he says, who made the stars also, saw to it that a star marked his birthplace. Our star today is the Holy Spirit. And if we really want to find him, he says he will guide us into all truth. But we must be willing to find him. We must be a persevering seeker. Look at the earnestness. It's from the east. It says they came from afar off. That reminds me of the Lord Jesus, doesn't it? He came from afar off, didn't he? From heaven to a stable, a stinky, dirty stable at that he might redeem you and me. And from a stable to a cross. And from a cross to a grave, but thank God, from a grave to glory today, seated at the Father's right hand. But they traveled from afar, and so did the Lord Jesus. that he might bring us who were afar off nigh unto him. Ephesians 2:13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Saints, we're blessed this morning. Been brought nigh to God. We are as near to God as Christ is, and we sometimes sing, don't we, in our worship meeting? So near, so very near to God. I cannot nearer be, for in the person of His Son, I am as near as He. Beloved, that's where we are today. All because He was willing to come from high, right to where we were, and go to that cross and take our sin. That earnestness to find Him. They travel from afar, and I trust that we'll be earnest that way today, now to find Him and to know Him in a better way. Perchance one here without Christ today, Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. And the word shows that God's invitation to the sinner is open at all times. God calls, and we choose and believe. If you don't know Him today, why not choose Him today and believe and trust Him? But you know, as Christians, we choose as well. We choose whether we're going to seek Him or not. It's up to us whether we really want to find Him. May God help us to seek Him and find Him today. Secondly, the perplexed inquirers. And we go to verse 2 and it says, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Let's look at that question for a few moments. Where is he? Before I go any further, beloved saints, today, I had asked myself that question before I came in here. Freddie, where is he in my life today? Let me ask you. Where is he in your life today? You have to answer that. I have to answer that before God. The first question in the New Testament, where is he? And asked by wise men. But my mind goes back to the first question in the Old Testament. And it says, where art thou? And let me ask again today, saints. Where art thou regarding your Christian life today? I asked myself before I came this morning, Freddie, am I closer to him today than I were last Christmas? Where am I in my Christmas? Where am I in my Christian life today? Call still goes out and it's asked by God. Where art thou? Not that God didn't know where Adam was. No, he knew where Adam was. But it was asked out of love. He wanted Adam to see where his disobedience had taken him. Listen to Adam's answer. I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. That's the voice of a sinner, isn't it? That's the voice of one who has sinned. You see, Adam's not straightforward. Adam's not open. Adam's not above board with it. Adam's doing as if God doesn't know. Say sometime we're just like that. We're not above board. We're not open. As if God don't know our sin. And He says, where are you today in your Christian life? And we try to go around the bush, as it were, with it, don't we? But God knows right where we stand with Him today. And He says, where are you today, Freddie? Are you closer today than you were yesterday or last year? It's a solemn, searching question, isn't it, today? And if you're here without Christ, He says, where are you today? Do you know Him? Notice that, Adam, like I said, it's not straightforward. You know, and sin makes man a coward, doesn't it? That's what sin does. It makes us a coward. We don't want to tell the truth. And listen to that, Adam. Listen to that, the Lord said to him, He says, who told thee you were naked, Adam? Hast thou eaten of the tree? And this makes it easy for Adam to say yes or no. But there again, he goes around the bush. And he starts to blame his wife. And he starts to blame God for what has happened. A simple, honest answer is what God sought from him. And thanks today, a simple, honest answer is what he seeks from me and you today. And he says, where are you today in your Christian life? Are you been seeking after me? Or are you further away from me today? Where art thou? Listen to me, saints. Where art thou this morning? Depends upon where is he. That's solemn. That's searching. Where art thou? Depends upon where he is in my life. Is Christ in you? Is he in me? Again, if you're lost, Christ is the only answer. No one else. But as a Christian today, he's outside the door. In Revelation 3:20 says he's knocking. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice, open the door, I will come in and sup with him and eat with me. He wants to come in. Oh, we got him pushed over on the side of a corner. Does he have full control of my life today or your life today? He says he wants to come in. It's a matter of me or you letting him in. Ephesians 3:17 says that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that ye may be, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Listen. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the height, the depth, the length, the breadth of his love. Oh, today, I trust that Christ is dwelling in our hearts. He must have first place. He will accept nothing else. And it is his desire today to dwell in your heart. Personally, permanently, and powerfully. He only can if we let him. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Paul could say, he's living in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. With some, Christ is just present today in their life. With other Christians, he's prominent. To say, well, that's good. Well, it's better than just being present. But with others, Christ is preeminent. And I'll tell you today, he will have no other place but the preeminent. May God help us to give it to him today. Look at the results of that question. Where is he? It says, when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. They should have been overjoyed. But no, not only Herod, but all Jerusalem is troubled. Why? Why? Because of sin. And Christian today, if we're not overjoyed today of his coming, it's because of sin in our life. I must move on. Look at the third point, prophesied birthplace. And Herod demanded, verse 4 and 5, and Herod demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. They go to Micah 5:2, and that's where they went. That's where these scribes and elders went. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler over Israel, whose going forth hath been from of old, from everlasting. That little word got me. And thou, Bethlehem, who art little among the thousands of Judah. Though thou be little. Saints, let me tell you, God takes little things today and makes much of it. I don't know what's in your hand, but whatever it is, he could take it and use it if you'd be willing to give it to him. Just look at David. A little sling and big Goliath over 9 feet tall is defying God and his people. And David asked them, why are you so afraid? And you know the story without me taking any more time. David goes out to meet Goliath. He says, I'll give your flesh to the birds. David says, you come with a shield. You come with a sword and a spear. But I come in the name of the Lord of hosts. Saints, we have his power today. What's in your hand? Will you let him use it? He will if you'll let him. And we come to the New Testament. The little boy with the lunch. He could have kept it, said, it's only enough for me. But he was willing to give it to Christ. And that little lunch fed thousands. Are we willing to give what we have? Little town of Bethlehem. Birthplace of Christ. And millions have been blessed because of his coming into the world. God could take little things and make much from it today. My time is going so fast. Let's look at the place Bethlehem. John 6 is the house of bread. That's the meaning, house of bread. And John 6:33 says, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And they said, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me will never hunger. He that believeth on me will never thirst. Why Bethlehem? Why did he choose Bethlehem? The house of bread. And Jesus said, I am the bread that cometh down from heaven. And that's where he came. To the house of bread. And yet so many didn't come to get their hunger satisfied. So many today hasn't come to have their hunger satisfied. And so many of us as Christians still don't feed on him today. We're feeding on other things. Let me ask today, saints, where are we feeding? Is it on the house of bread? Is it on the living bread, the Lord Jesus Christ? I trust so. I trust so. Says, I am come that you might not hunger. What are you saying? I am all you need and more besides. That's what he is today if we'll just let him come in. Look at this person. First we see his humanity. He's a ruler in Israel. As David's son, he has that right. He was the rightful heir to David's throne. But no, they didn't accept him. They gave him a crown of thorns. But saints, one day he's coming back to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We have to look at his deity there as well. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Hebrews 1:8 says, but unto the Son he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The Son is declared to be God, and his throne is to be righteous and eternal. Here again we see the deity of Christ is unmistakable. But if you go over to Zechariah chapter 13, you don't need to turn there, we don't have time. It says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. The man indicates he's 100% man. And the fellow, meaning friend, companion, associate, means he's 100% God. No stronger way the Lord of hosts could say that his shepherd is his equal, God of very God. Fourthly, let's look at the wicked king, or the perfidious king. Verse 13 says, "For Herod will seek the young child to kill him. And he sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem 2 years old and under. And in Ramah was there a voice heard of lamentations, weeping, and great mourning." Just imagine with me, all the babies in that town slain. And yet, they didn't turn toward God. Because they put him on a cross. You know, I sometimes wonder what would happen in this community if God had to speak like that. He spoke when I was just a young boy. Took 5 young people from here, and people did heed his voice. There was a difference. But I wonder today, because death doesn't seem to speak anymore, if it happened. Just a couple years ago, some of our young men was taken to Cuba. And I believe every one of those young men, if they were to tell you the truth today, volunteered to God that they'd do different. Somehow today, you don't even sight in the church door a false reverence for God. A false reverence is, "When you have found him, bring me word that I might worship him." Look at what Isaiah says. "For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have moved their heart far from me." Is that where we are today? False reverence, false worship. The Lord says, "Why call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do those things that I say? Why do that?" Let me say, if one calls him Lord today, I trust we won't be like Peter. Simon the tanner's house, he said, "Not so, Lord, not so." I trust today that we'll be like Paul on that road to Damascus. And we'll say, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" That's the only thing we could do. And I'll tell you, the Lord demands nothing less. Nothing less. "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." Nothing less than, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" Look at his foul intention to kill him, to kill the Lord Jesus. John 3:19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil." That's why. And that's why Herod wanted to kill him. Herod didn't want the light. He'd rather have the darkness. "Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. They detest it. They abhor it." You see, if you want to know the straightness of a stick, you take a crooked stick and put it there and put a straight stick alongside of it, and it reveals the crookedness of the stick. Well, that was the Lord Jesus. With him coming, his life revealed the crookedness and the sinful art of man. Look at his fearful deed. He slew all 2 years old and under. Wicked king he was. His children were wicked. His son killed John the Baptist. His great-grandson slew James. A wicked, wicked king. Look at the person discovered. "And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him." their guide, the star, our guide, the Word of God. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. John 5:39 says this. Search the Scriptures. And the Lord is speaking, says, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. Saints, the only way we're going to find him, the only way we're going to discover him today is to search the Scriptures. The entrance of thy word giveth light. The opening of it, the unveiling, the unfolding of God's word giveth light. Look at the result. It says there was joy when they found him. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Jeremiah 15:16 says this, thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy words was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. The prophet was puzzled. He was being persecuted. He was suffering, especially when he was doing everything he could for God, being faithful. But he says, I found thy word, and it was a joy and a rejoicing of my heart. Saints, I don't know what you're going through today. You may be saying, I'm living faithful for the Lord, and yet he's brought me through, he's carried me through a trial, he's putting me through a trial today. Oh, get into the word. That was Jeremiah's case. He says he found it to be a joy and a rejoicing of his heart. I tell you, it's nothing like getting into the book. Says, and then they worshiped. They fell down and worshiped him. I don't have time to go into worship, but let me just say this. Worship is not going through a series of rituals. No. God insists that we approach him with a broken and contrite heart. And he says, he will not despise it. The omnipotent, powerful God cannot despise a broken and a contrite heart today. That's how he wants us to come. That's how he wants us to come. As we close, let's look at the precious gifts. This got to me. They opened their treasures. They opened their treasures. Saints, when Christ is seen, when we find him, we'll open our treasures. I'm not talking so much about monetary stuff. But we'll open our life and give it to him. They opened their treasures and presented him their gifts. What God wants from us today is our heart's trust, our devotion, our service, as we bring the message to close today. Romans 12:1 says this, and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen at that. They're strong words today. Present your bodies, meaning to yield them. God wants a sacrifice of our life, not death. Reasonable service. What do you mean, Paul? Reasonable service is my reasonable service to give him my body. If the Son of God, Paul would say, could die for us, certainly we could live for him. Certainly we could. Friends, let me say as we close, 3 keys in knowing God's will. Right there in those 2 verses. A yielded body. That you present your bodies. You want to know his will today? You must yield your body. Then, a separated life. He says, don't be conformed to this world. Am I willing to do that? And then a transformed mind. by the renewing of your mind. Where is our thought so often? Where do my thoughts take me so many times? Friends, saints, you want to know His will. A yielded body. A separated life. A transformed mind. Look at what they presented. Gold in recognition of a king. Frankincense as the Son of God. Myrrh as a suffering Savior. What are we presenting Him with today? I'll tell you what He wants. A yielded body. A separated life. And a transformed mind. Love so amazing. So divine. Demands my soul. My life. My all. Let us pray. Father, truly today, my heart has been challenged again as I presented the Word, as well as when I studied the Word. And truly, love like yours, Father, in giving a Son, and Lord, you giving your life, could demand nothing else but my soul and my life. My own. Yet as I look at my life, Lord, I realize it's so many areas that I haven't given to you. Oh God, today, by your grace, by your power, help me. Help us all today to give you our home. May it be so for your name's sake. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. I trust that the Word has been an encouragement to us. I know there's been a challenge. And as I studied this, I've never been so convicted in studying a portion. I felt like everything I've said here today was for me. And I trust that it'll make a difference in my life. I trust it'll make a difference in your life. May it be so for Christ's sake. Amen.